Remember that big internet outage back in 21?
Yeah, the one where like half the internet just went down.
Exactly. Turns out it all started with a single data center in Europe.
Oh, right. The one that got hit by that crazy lightning storm.
That's the one. But here's the thing. It wasn't just the lightning strike that caused the problem.
Oh, what else was there?
Well, according to what I've read, they didn't have the right kind of grounding and surge protection in place.
You're saying a little lightning turned into a digital apocalypse.
That's exactly what we're talking about today. It all comes down to CISSP, physical security.
The real world stuff, right?
Absolutely. And we're going deep on this one, folks. We've been digging through a CISSP exam prep guide. And let me tell you, this is about way more than just passing a test.
It's the foundation for everything else, isn't it?
That's it. It's about understanding how to protect the physical spaces where our digital lives exist, the servers, the data centers, all of it.
It's about recognizing that security isn't just about software and code, it's about layers, and it all starts with the physical.
Okay, so you're saying, like, the walls of a data center are the first line of defense.
Exactly. Think of it like this. You need to fix a connection in the wiring closet. Just a normal day at the tech company.
Right, you flash your badge, maybe sign a logbook, and you're in.
Exactly. But let's say you need to get into the server room, the heart of the operation. That's where the layers start to get serious.
Okay, so walk me through this. What kind of layers are we talking about?
Well, forget about a simple lock and key.
Oh, so high-tech security measures.
You got it. We're talking biometric scanners, maybe even iris patterns.
Wow. So serious stuff then.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget those man traps, you know, like in the movies, those double doors that only let one person in at a time.
Like you're entering a vault.
Exactly. And the type of security you need depends on what you're protecting. Our guide talks about these different spaces, wiring closets, server rooms, data centers. They're like layers of a treasure chest. The further in you go, the more valuable the stuff and the tighter the security needs to be.
So, if a server room is the inner sanctum, what kind of security measures are we talking about there?
Our guide actually mentions this. It's called the 30-second door alarm rule for server rooms.
Wait, really? What's that?
If a door to a server room is left open for more than 30 seconds, alarms go blaring, security cameras go on high alert, and people come running.
Wow, 30 seconds. That seems super strict.
It is. Think about it in a server room, every second matters. That rule isn't about someone running off with a server under their arm. It's about limiting the risk of any unauthorized access, even for a few seconds. Someone might just be propping a door open for a coworker and not realize.
That they're creating a huge security risk.
Exactly.
That is serious stuff.
It gets even more intense. It's not just about physical theft either. Think espionage, sabotage, or even something as simple as someone spilling coffee on a server.
Okay, yeah, you definitely don't want a latte bringing down a $1 million system.
Right. And that actually brings us to another big part of physical security, environmental controls.
So we're talking temperature, humidity, that sort of thing.
Exactly. You might not immediately think cybersecurity when you hear those, but.
But they're all part of making those valuable assets safe and secure.
100%. Let's say it's a scorching summer day.
Oh, yeah, I can feel it now.
The temperature outside is through the roof, but inside that server room, it needs to be cool and consistent.
Because too much heat can fry servers.
Faster than you can imagine.
Ouch. I'm getting flashbacks to my old desktop overheating.
Yeah.
Not a good scene.
Especially when it's not just your old computer, but an entire room full of servers that a company, a hospital, maybe even a government agency relies on.
Oh, so what's the solution? How do you keep those servers from turning into expensive space heaters?
You need a specialized system, for sure. Forget those little office air conditioners. The server rooms need their own HVAC setup. Often with backups, just in case. And they have to maintain very specific temperature and humidity levels, too. Our guide actually mentions the exact number.
Really, what are they?
They need to keep it between 18 and 27 degrees Celsius, with humidity between 40% and 60%.
Those are weirdly specific numbers. What's the deal with that?
It's all about making the perfect environment for all that sensitive electronic equipment. Too much humidity, corrosion and short circuits, not enough humidity, static electricity builds up. Both bad news in a room full of servers.
So it's about finding that perfect balance. Not too hot, not too cold.
Exactly. The
Right.
servers need to run smoothly 24/7 without breaking a sweat, literally.
Makes sense. But what if, even with all these precautions, something still goes wrong? Like a power outage or a fire or, I don't know, a flood?
That's where disaster preparedness comes into play. And trust me, this is where things get really interesting.
Okay, before we get to that, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this short message.
And we're back. We're diving headfirst back into disaster preparedness. You know, those break glass in case of emergency scenarios.
The ones you hope you never have to deal with.
Exactly. But you have to be ready, right? 100%. Because even if you have all the best security and climate control, there are always things you can't predict.
Natural disasters, equipment failures.
Even just plain old human error.
Okay, so let's say the worst case scenario happens. Fire breaks out in our perfectly climate-controlled server room. What then?
First things first. Forget those movie scenes where the sprinklers go off and drench everything. Remember, water and electronics don't mix.
Right. Definitely don't want to make things worse.
Our guide actually talks about this. They use these special fire suppression systems in server rooms. Some of them use these inert gases, things like FM200.
FM200, what's that?
It's like a clean agent. It puts out fires without ruining everything in sight, which is super important in a data center, right?
Makes sense.
Basically, it disrupts the chemical reaction happening in a fire, starves it of oxygen.
Yeah, that's pretty high tech. But even with something like that, I guess prevention is still key.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Regular inspections, making sure flammable stuff is stored correctly, even just making sure the server racks have good airflow.
So many little details.
But those details make all the difference. It's all about minimizing those risks.
Okay, so you've taken all these precautions. You've minimized the risks. But then disaster still strikes.
Yeah.
What's the game plan?
It all starts with a solid evacuation plan for people.
Of course. People first.
Always. After that, you need a solid plan for getting that data back.
Right. Where's your backup data? How fast can you get to it? Big questions.
Huge. You do not want to be figuring that out in the middle of a crisis. That's why you need to test your disaster recovery plan regularly.
Like a fire drill, but for your data.
Exactly. You need to make sure your whole team knows how to act fast and effectively if something happens.
Makes sense. Our guide also talks about something I find really interesting, the human element.
Ah, yes. Because you can have the best security in the world.
But if someone accidentally leaves a secure door open.
Or falls for a phishing scam and gives away their password.
Suddenly, it doesn't matter how many cameras or alarms you have.
Exactly. That's why security awareness training is so important for everyone.
Everyone, from the top down.
Yep. It's about giving everyone the knowledge to be a part of keeping things secure, teaching them about the different types of threats, physical and digital, and giving them the tools to actually do something if they see anything suspicious.
So it's not just about telling people what not to do. It's about giving them the power to be proactive.
That's it. It's about creating this whole culture of awareness. Everyone knows how important it is to protect information.
Makes sense. Speaking of which, our guide mentions background checks for employees. Is that really necessary for everyone?
Well, think of it this way. If you're letting someone have access to really important information, wouldn't you want to be extra sure they are who they say they are?
Good point. So about those sneaky data remnants we talked about before, how does that tie into the human element?
Oh, that's a great question. It's really easy to forget about those physical things, old hard drives, USB sticks, backup tapes.
Yeah, they get shoved in a drawer somewhere.
Out of sight, out of mind, right. Except those things could have tons of sensitive information on them.
So what can you do? Smash every old hard drive with a hammer.
Well, there are ways to completely destroy data, physically and digital. You have to make sure it's truly gone.
Okay, so what's the difference between like smashing a hard drive and doing something digitally?
If you physically destroy it.
Like with a hammer or something.
Exactly. Then it's physically impossible to get that data back. But there's always a tiny chance that someone with enough resources and knowledge could piece together those tiny bits of data.
Oh, wow. So digital then.
With digital, you're basically overwriting the data on the drive a bunch of times with random stuff. It's really hard to recover anything after that.
Like giving it a digital lobotomy.
Pretty much. And it's not just hard drives either. Any device that stores important information needs to be wiped clean before you get rid of it or reuse it.
Okay, good reminder.
Yeah.
My old phone, my laptop, even my printer. They could all be hiding old data.
Exactly. It all comes back to that human element, even with all the best technology.
It still comes down to people being smart about security.
Yep. Whether it's watching out for open doors, being careful about emails, or wiping those devices.
It's all about those everyday choices.
That make a huge difference.
Totally. Okay, this is probably a silly question, but what about those SCIFs? You know, those top secret facilities they always show in spy movies?
You mean where they keep all the super secret information?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are they actually, like, in the movies?
Yeah.
with the biometric locks and the soundproof walls and everything?
It's pretty close, actually. SCIFs are designed to keep out any unauthorized access.
Mm-hmm.
No leaks allowed. And they definitely take security to a whole other level.
So spill the secrets. What kind of stuff are we talking about?
Electromagnetic shielding, special air filtration systems, even armed guards sometimes.
Wow, intense. But I thought those were only for government stuff, like top secret military things.
Not always. Well, it's true. They're most common in government and military.
Right.
Private companies use them, too, if they deal with super sensitive data.
So like defense contractors, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're talking about information that could be really bad news if it fell into the wrong hands. Blueprints for weapons, intelligence reports, that sort of thing.
Makes sense. I bet those SCIFs are pretty expensive to build.
You better believe it. They're super expensive to build and maintain. Strict rules about materials, special security systems, constant inspections.
Wow. But if you need that level of security.
It's non-negotiable. It's the ultimate insurance policy for really important information.
That makes sense.
It's all about mitigating risk and protecting those really valuable assets, whether it's national security or just making sure a business can keep running.
Okay, this has been fascinating. We've talked about server rooms, fire systems, even SCIFs,
yeah,
and those data remnants.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much falls under physical security.
Right. It really touches everything.
Totally. Before we wrap up, though, we have to talk about power.
Power. Oh, yeah. Can't forget about that.
Because what good is a secure facility?
A, if the power goes out. Our CISSP guide talks about this a lot. Having reliable power is super important for keeping systems up and running and for making sure your data is safe. They go into a lot of detail about different types of outages and how to create backup systems.
Okay, so let's talk about these power outages. What kinds are there and how do we prepare for them? Asking for a friend who doesn't want to rely on candles and flashlights.
Well, good news, you probably won't have to. First of all, it's good to know there are different types of power issues. You have your little blips, things like a sag or a surge.
Oh, like when the lights flicker during a storm?
Exactly. Annoying, but usually not a huge deal. Then you have bigger problems like brownouts, where the voltage drops for a while.
And those can mess up equipment, right?
Especially if they go on for too long. And then you have the big one, blackouts. That's when the power goes completely out.
Okay, those are definitely the worst case scenario. So how do we actually get prepared for this stuff?
Well, you need to figure out a few things. How much power do your systems need? What absolutely can't go down? How long can those things survive without power?
So you can figure out what kind of backup you need.
Exactly. That's when you look into things like uninterruptible power supplies. Have you heard of those? UPS is for short.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
They're great for those short outages because they kick in right away.
So nothing is interrupted.
Exactly. It'll keep your important stuff running until the power comes back. Or at least until you can shut everything down properly.
So it's like a little safety net for your data.
100%. But if you have a longer outage, like a blackout, you need something stronger. A backup generator.
Okay, for those of us who don't know about generators, what are we talking about here?
It's basically a whole separate power source that turns on if your main power fails. And they come in all different sizes, run on different fuels.
Oh, you need to know how much power you need and how long you'll need it for. Then find a generator that fits.
Exactly. And don't forget, you have to make sure it's installed correctly and maintained.
Oh, right, because what good is a backup generator?
If it doesn't work when you need it.
Exactly.
That's why it's so important to test these things regularly. You have to know it's ready to go if you need it.
It really is all about peace of mind, knowing you've done everything you can.
And that's really what physical security is all about. Anticipating problems, minimizing risks, and making sure your data and systems are safe.
So we're really building a fortress here, layers and layers of protection, from the actual building itself to the power grid and everything in between.
Kind of, yeah. But what I find really interesting is that it's not just about outside threats. Our own CISSP guide really highlights that.
Right, like those internal risks, human error.
And those data remnants we keep coming back to. It's easy to forget about those.
Okay, before we wrap up, you have to tell me more about that. You've got me thinking about every old hard drive I've ever owned.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big takeaway?
It's pretty simple, actually. Deleting something doesn't make it disappear. Not really. That data can hang around on those old devices. And someone with the right skills can get it back.
Okay, so what do? Buy a high-tech shredder for all my old electronics.
It doesn't have to be that extreme. but you're thinking in the right direction. You have to securely destroy that data.
Yeah.
And it's not always about physical destruction either.
There are software options too, right?
Exactly. They can basically wipe your data clean, make it impossible to recover.
It's like in those old spy movies where they have to burn the microfilm, except that we're burning data with software.
That's a great way to put it. It goes back to those layers we keep talking about. You have all these physical security layers to protect your servers and data centers. You need layers of data security, too. You have to protect that information throughout its entire life cycle, from when it's created to when it's stored and even when you get rid of it.
It's a lot to keep track of.
It really is.
But it makes you realize just how important all this stuff is.
It's crucial. At the end of the day, we're not just protecting data. We're protecting people, businesses, even national security. We're making sure that the systems we all rely on can do their thing.
Safely and reliably.
Exactly.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. We've covered a ton of ground today, haven't we? Everything from server rooms to fire suppression to data remnants and even SCIFs.
It's been quite the deep dive.
It really has. Hopefully our listeners learned a lot. And maybe even picked up some tips they can use themselves.
I hope so.
For those who want to learn even more, you should definitely check out the CISSP guide we've been talking about. It's a goldmine of information, even if you never plan on taking the exam.
Definitely agree with that.
And with that, we'll wrap things up. Until next time, everyone, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay secure.